Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Chapter 25, Between the Lines of David and Jonathan, WBFF 97.7. In God's amazing manuscript, a choreographed history and future of all humanity is right here in this book. You just got to read it. Oh, it's the Bible. It's just all old stuff. No, it tells it right up to the last day. And even it tells it right up to the time we inhabit the kingdom of God. Not heaven. You know, very few of the Christians are going to heaven. Oh, my gosh, heresy. No, it's not. It's right in here. And we get the revelations. I will prove it to you, Christian. All your pastors ever said, oh, we're going to heaven. You know what? I'd say maybe 10% of Christians are going to the city of heaven. The rest of us are going to the kingdom of God, which is an amazing place. But you know what? The city is reserved for the best of the best of the best, you know. All these, I get asked this all the time. How can a man kill all these people and then profess Jesus Christ and God just wipes it all away? Yes, he does. But the last chapter of Revelation says, in the city of God, there will be no murders, no whoremongers, no this, nor that, nor that. It follows you there. What you do in this life follows you there. Yes, Jesus Christ may cover your sins, and you may be part of the kingdom of God. There are levels. There are so many levels in the kingdom of God. And there are only a couple levels that get into the city of heaven, which comes down onto the new earth. You got to get in here, and you got to read it all yourself. But I guarantee you, Saul will be there. Chapter 25, and Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. In his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. There was a man of Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the house was very great. And he had 3,000 sheep and 3,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish. He was a very cruel man and evil in his doings. And he was of the house of Caleb. Now David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, get ye up to Carmel and go to Nabal, greet him in my name, and thus ye shall say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers, now thy shepherds, which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and I will show thee where let thy young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. So David sent 10 of his men to this rich man, this rich farmer, plantation owner, has lots of sheep and grows his own food and everything. And he said, tell him that when his shepherds and all of his vast flocks were in Carmel, my men were right there alongside them. And we actually protected them. Not a single animal was ever taken. And no harm came to your shepherds or your flocks. And if you could, find it in your heart to feed us, if you would. We're hungry. So, you know, 600 of us or more now. And we did you very well. We were a good neighbor to you, and you are a rich man. Could you find it in your heart just to give us a little? And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? And you know, the tribe of Benjamin is the least of the tribes of Israel. And the tribe of Jesse is the least of the tribes of Benjamin. And David was the least of the sons of Jesse. This is like the lowest level person on the economic scale, and this is a rich man, so he thinks economically and socially. This is like the lowest level man. It's like the guy getting out at the Trump Tower out of his Rolls Royce, and there's a street person standing there.
Right, and more or less, too, all right, along the same lines, David's a shepherd, too.
Yes.
You know how they looked at shepherds.
Oh, yeah, yeah, servants.
Yeah.
So Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master."
Yeah.
He's just a commoner.
Yep.
"Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" What is the what is one of the main themes of the Levitical law? Charity.
Yep.
That is right up there with the top. You must be charitable. That proves that your heart is following God. This man is a very stingy, wealthy man. So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, "Gird ye on every man his sword." I'm going to teach this rich feller a lesson. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. They left by the stuff. It's King James.
Yeah.
It always throws something in there. It's like it's putting all these big fancy words in there. And now it's just 400 went forward and 200 stayed with the stuff.
Yeah.
It shows you're different scribes.
The other 200 went with a thingamabob. Wait, what?
The scribe that translated this portion, he just wasn't as learned as some of the other ones.
Yeah, they could have had a whole bunch of stuff, you know. And he's like, "I am not writing all that."
No,
out.
It might have been. What? That's like a half a chapter of stuff.
Yeah.
Stop. We're going to go with stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on him. But the men were very good unto us. They were not. They did not hurt us, neither missed we anything as long as we were conservant with them. When we were in the fields, they were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep." They were a protection to us. We knew as long as they were there, no one would try to take our sheep. "Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of a Belial." There we go again. The original SOB.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not. Believe it or not, family, it comes out of the Bible. Son of a Belial, and a Belial is a man of no heart, an evildoer. The son of a Belial. "That a man cannot speak to him. Arrogant." Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 200 and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed, and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. She said unto her servant, "Go on before me. Behold, I come after you." But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, as she came down by the covert of the hill, behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain have I kept all that is fellow hath in the wilderness." So David's saying to himself the whole time, "You know what? I made it a point to protect this man's stuff. And he treats me like this." It's like stewing. You ever get in that situation? I can't believe he's done this to me after all I did
all
for him.
Everything. Yeah.
And then the further he's riding on his donkey, it's building
right
up. "I kept all that this fellow had in the wilderness, so that nothing was messed with all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall." He's going to kill every man that is in this man's dwelling. Nabal is going to be done. He's going to wipe out the entire line. He is mad. "When Abigail saw David, she hasted, lighted off the ass, and fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and fell at his feet, and said, 'Upon me, my lord, upon me let this iniquity be. Let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial. She even calls him her own husband an SOB.
Look, I know he's stupid, but
son of a Belial. Even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and thy that seek evil to my lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my lord. Please don't do it. I know you should do it. You got every right to go and wipe my husband off the face of the map, and it would probably be a good thing, but please don't do it. Here, take all of this. I brought you a whole smorgasbord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house. She knows he's going to be king too. That was not given to her carnally, because my lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and hath an evil hath been found in thee, or no evil has been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out and out of the middle of the sling. So she knows what's going to happen. She knows David is a man of God. She knows that Saul is pursuing him, trying to kill him. She knows David's heart is good, and she knows he will be king, and she knows God will do it. She basically said that in that last verse. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my lord, neither that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dwelt well with my lord, then remember thine handmaid. Very wise young woman. She says, when you have become king, you don't need what's going to happen here today to be on your heart. This massacre that's going to happen, human beings weren't made to kill other human beings. It affects them profusely. She says, you don't need this. There's other ways. David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. Blessed be thy advice. Wow. A man of ancient times taking advice from a woman.
Weird.
Yes. It proves the heart. Mm-hmm. You know, the arrogant man can take advice from no one. Completely, especially a woman.
Right.
David said in blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself to mine own hand. And she said that to him, it's not your place. God says that, you know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You dare not avenge yourself. David was on a mission to avenge himself, which would have been a righteous avenging, but it's not. The soul is not prepared for that. God's place is to do that. And she says, no, it's not your place.
With a momentary victory, felt good for a minute, but
yes.
Then been like, wait a minute.
Yeah. I mean, he lamented when he cut off the hem of Saul's skirt.
Right.
How much more would this have affected him?
Oh, yeah.
For in every deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. And there you go, folks. Piss is not a bad word, although my mother used to chastise me for it. I started reading the Bible young, and Isaiah uses it a lot. He's got a potty mouth. And I had to get the book out and show it to her, although hell is a bad word in her eyes too. But, you know, she hangs to the law, and the law is more than what's written in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. The law is religion, and religion makes things bad. Religion tells you you can't do things. Religion is more binding even than the law, which is the beginning of all religion. And God hates religion. Oh no. God hates religion, Jonathan.
Yeah, it's confusion.
They are going to burn the radio station down.
I know, right?
I see torches and pitchforks coming. Quick, to the Bat Cave.
Yes.
No. God wants a spiritual relationship with you. He doesn't want your religious nonsense. Mm-hmm. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Well, Jesus come to reestablish the first covenant. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized. No more cutting. It's even easier.
Right.
You know? Oh, my gosh. And I tell you what, Christian, for the Christian that says, I follow Jesus Christ and hangs on to any portion of the law, you're telling God, you're telling Christ, the Messiah, that his sacrifice just wasn't quite good enough. You know, Lord, you suffered. You hung on that cross. You took on all the sins. You felt all the nasty disease of sin in your spirit. Just one enough. I got to keep the Sabbath. I got to keep the Sabbath.
You missed the spot.
Yes. I got to polish my brass on the Sabbath. No, not on the Sabbath. Yeah. I do all my work on Saturday so I can keep Sunday holy. I got news for you. Saturday's the Sabbath there, hypocrite. Bible says if you hang on to one tittle of the law, you must keep it all. Don't tell the Messiah, don't tell Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that his sacrifice just wasn't quite good enough. Verse 35, so David received of her hand that which she had brought him, said unto her, go up in peace in thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. Okay, so David wanted to wipe Nabal out. She told him, you know what? It's sinful. She didn't say it in these words. It's a sin to avenge thyself. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see God does the avenging here just in a second. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry within him. For he was very drunken. He really overdid it that night. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. Came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. He fell down dead. Heart just stopped. She told him, David was coming to wipe out your entire fortune and your life. And I guess it was too much for him, and he just fell over dead. But no, I think God reached down and took his heart in his hand and just gave it a squeeze, because that was God's anointed that he turned his back on. Mm-hmm. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Abigail done a wonderful thing for David by convincing him of that. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. Oh, 10 days later. So he just fell into a dead coma in his bed, and then 10 days later he died. So you see there, we pay for our sins in this life. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servants from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. David sent and communed with Abigail to make him her his wife. So it by said she was a comely woman, very smart, and also very beautiful. So David takes her as his wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. You see what we've been talking about, how women are possessions? You know, you didn't have to go through all that dating nonsense, Jonathan.
You just collected them.
You just... You did. And if you were a man of stature like David, and you have followers, you didn't even have to collect her yourself.
Right.
Hey, I like that one. No, not that one. Not that fat one on the right. I want that one in the middle. Go get her for me. Hey. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. Wow, what a humble woman. The heart of God inside this woman.
And not even to wash your feet, wash your
servants. The
servants,
just like Jesus Christ, yes. Yeah. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with five damsels of hers that went after her, and she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. So he is he's coming up in stature there. Got himself a couple wives now. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, to David's wife, to Phalti, the son of Lish, which was in Gollum. He had promised Michal to David a long time ago. He changed his mind and gave her away. Oh, it gets really, really fast from here on out. And Saul is at the end of his reign. David's at the beginning of his. But we see a lot of eternal salvation, which I absolutely believe in. I never did. I was a Pentecostal all my life. One minute I was going to heaven. One minute I was going to hell. Sometimes I'd snap out of a deep sleep and remember that I hadn't prayed that night and was probably going to go to hell if I died in my sleep. Religion. Religion puts bad things inside you. Religion makes things so forbidden that it will entice you to do them. You know, God, Paul says in the New Testament, all things are legal for the Christian. Not all things are good for the Christian. The key is you follow God with all your heart. You'll know the difference. You've been with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WBFF 97.7. Any day in God's Word is a good day. You know, we have some fun here. You never thought reading the Bible could be such a blast, but it is. I have the best times of my life reading this book. How can that be? It's so solemn and stately. No, it's the Word of God, and God has an amazing sense of humor. You just got to read it. You got to examine it. You got to look it over. And we'll see you next time here at 97.7 FM WBFF.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.